Mr. Biden goes to Beijing, hoping to assure and reassure our nation's biggest foreign creditor.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Economists in China today have been publishing some critical articles about U.S. debt and credit. No coincidence, it is the day Vice President Joe Biden is due to arrive in China on a five-day trip. Now, China is our biggest foreign creditor, and Mr. Biden is hoping to reassure the Chinese government that the Obama administration has a firm grip on economic policy. The BBC's Michael Bristow is with us now from Beijing with the latest. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
What is the vice president expecting to get from his visit economically in China?
The economic crisis which has hit the world, hit America over the last few weeks is going to be a hot topic, particularly all the money, more than $1 trillion US dollars that China has loaned the United States. China wants to make sure that that investment is safe. And officials in their meetings with Joe Biden will be looking for reassurances that the United States won't be doing anything to undermine those investments.
I know the vice president is going to be meeting with his Chinese counterpart, and unlike Biden, the vice president in China is in line to just become the president of China without an election. Will we learn anything about how China's economic policies could change under new leadership?
I don't think so, because the Chinese government play their cards very close to their chest. But certainly I think it will provide an opportunity to meet Vice President Xi Jinping. He'll be able to get some kind of impression, form some impression of what kind of person he is.
How symbolic do you think is this visit to China for the vice president?
Any contact between senior leaders of the United States and China is important. After all, we're looking at two countries that are largely going to shape the way the world is in the 21st century. So they're still really trying to get to know each other and finding out, particularly from the US point of view, finding out what China really wants to do over the next few years.
The BBC's Michael Bristow in Beijing. Michael, thank you.
Thanks.
And over in Europe, banks and stock exchanges are unhappy with a proposed plan from French and German leaders to impose a new tax on financial transactions. Now, the tax is part of the latest plan to help stave off the debt crisis by moving toward closer economic integration of Europe. But as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, critics say even closer ties are needed.
Germany and France are planning what they call an economic government for the 17 countries in the Eurozone. The 17 leaders would meet at least twice a year and try to coordinate their economies and public spending plans. But Steve Barrow of Standard Bank says investors are dismissing this as little more than hot air.
We've heard all this sort of thing before from Eurozone leaders about closer integration, cooperation. It's not worked in the past, and I don't think it will work now.
He says investors want the Eurozone to show them the money. They want to know that richer countries like Germany will put more hard cash into the fund to bail out the likes of Spain and Italy. But that's unpopular with the German public. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment. Later this morning, we're going to get a look at inflation with the release of the producer price index for July. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 76 points to end the day at 11,405. Reminder, we have special coverage exploring our current state of the economy. It's called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time, at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Farm equipment maker John Deere is set to tell us how the company's doing in this economy. But as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, a bellwether like John Deere can tell us just as much about the economy as a whole.
The word bellwether comes from the practice of putting a bell on the sheep that leads the flock. The bell helps the herder know where the flock is and where it's going. Bellwether companies are like that lead sheep. David Kotok is the chief investment officer from Cumberland Advisors.
markets look to them for guidance on how the entire industry is doing.
Earnings reports are the bells. Often buried in the numbers are tidbits of information about where things are headed. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial in New York.
We can develop a sense of where the momentum is, and that is extraordinarily useful when trying to figure out the economy, especially when it's as rough as it is right now.
Lowe says some companies like John Deere are good indicators of specific parts of the economy. Deere sells farm equipment, so if Deere is doing well, agriculture is likely doing well. But Deere's earnings may not tell us much about other parts of the economy. Lowe's favorite broad bellwethers, UPS and FedEx.
Anytime the global shipping picks up, that's a really good indication that global economic activity is picking up.
But be careful. If you're going to watch earnings reports for clues about the economy as a whole, you've got to stay alert.
Everything changes.
Charles Trzinka teaches finance at Indiana University's Kelly School of Business.
The companies that you think are important now may not be important in the future.
Take Microsoft, Trzinka says. It would have been considered a bellwether at one time, but not anymore. The trick with using earnings reports as economic indicators is to make sure you're following the right bells from the companies and sectors that are actually doing the leading. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
In that report, Adrian spoke to a professor at the Kelly Business School at Indiana University. It's an underwriter of this program. And finally, retailer to thin young people Abercrombie & Fitch reports its earnings today. And not only is it worried about the retail climate, Abercrombie is worried about its customers, as in whether it's attracting the wrong kind. The brand is reportedly paying Mike the Situation Sorrentino from MTV's Jersey Shore reality show to not wear its clothing, saying he harms Abercrombie's image and distresses its fans. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Small businesses create most of the new jobs in this country. Lose them, too, when they go under. So how to know a business is going to stick?
If a business owner shows that, yes, not only did I pay myself, but I paid a couple of other employees, you are really destined for success.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the business side of the economy. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.